All right, welcome to the State of Games. I'm Dice Hate Me.
I'm Get Louder.
I'm Puppy Shogun.
And I'm Fellow Fangirl.
And we are a podcast all about anything and everything related to board and card games and more.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, welcome to episode 131, or as we like to call it, the one about getting nasty.
Nasty.
This is an episode where we look at each other in the eye as we stab them in the back. It's finally time to talk about the dark side of gaming, and we mean games. In other words, everything that Jessica plays.
This is so perfect timing. Talk about mean games right before convention season. Just way to piss off strangers. Let's get right into it.
That's a great way to get people into the hobby.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to talk about that. We're actually going to debate that and see, like, are mean games essential? Could you play some essential mean games? There are all some mean games that are going to make our list. And then we'll talk about some of the ones we can't stand and some of the mechanics behind those that make them as mean as they are. But we'll get to that during the meat of the podcast. First of all, let's find out what everyone's been up to since we last got together. And I'm going to go ahead and jump the gun here because people are going to probably notice a small tweak in the sound of one of our hosts. And I'm going to start with Jessica because she might sound a little off tonight.
Yes, I had a toothache today. I've had it for 4 days. And so I called my dentist and I went in and I had to have an emergency tooth extraction today. So I am talking with gauze in my mouth as we speak and am high on pain meds. So I'm not going to sleep for the entire podcast. I'll be here as long as I can, but I really need to get to bed. So if I sound funny and a little lispy, it's because I have gauze in my mouth. And I am prone to dry sockets, and so I'm trying to keep gauze in my mouth as much as possible because that's, like, the most unpleasant thing ever to have a dry socket. And I'm, like, on basically a liquid diet until this thing heals a little bit, so.
Don't they, if you dry socket, don't they stuff cloves or something in it?
Yeah, you can do. There are all these home remedies you can do. I looked them up in case I got them the last time I got teeth pulled 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, I didn't get any. But I just ate soft food. Like, you just can't suck at all. Like, you can't drink through a straw. You can't eat anything that causes you to do, like, a sucking motion in your mouth because it'll dislodge the clot. So I just ate, like, mashed potatoes, milkshakes, and applesauce for 6 days after my tooth extraction.
That doesn't sound terrible, though.
Yeah, but
those are great things.
I'm on the whole 30 right now, and I'm only, like, 7 days away from finishing it. And so I'm going to try to stick to it, even though I'm eating, like, you know, soft foods for the next week.
Well, if you got to go potatoes, go sweet potatoes because those are actually better for you.
Yeah, I'll do a little white potato, but yeah, sweet potatoes, which I love. So
just throw everything in a blender and slurp it down. It's fine.
But you can't slurp.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. Sorry.
Just
pour it right down your gullet. You don't have to slurp it that way.
Yeah. Just cover your tooth in hot wax.
Oh, gross.
Strip a candle right onto it.
Well, we'll go ahead then in our usual order besides the news of Jessica. Daryl, last episode we told everyone that a tree crashed on your poor table. Did you finally get it cleaned up?
Most of it. The trunk is still there. It is huge. And it turns out it was the trunk of the tree was really old. I guess there was a much, 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 much larger tree that was there. And it got struck by lightning. And so this trunk was there. And I would say the trunk was probably about 8-9 feet tall. But a series of vines and another parasitic tree took over the stump. So, like, if you've been at the house before, it just looked like a really large, like a short, squatty tree. It was like a big, bushy thing. It was perfect for where it was. The bush, it covered the back porch and the garden at certain times during the day. And we had a boatload of rain, and half of it fell off about 3 months ago, away from the house. And so I was looking at it, I was like, wow. And that's when I realized it was just, like, an old stump that was rotting and still, like, hosting this another ecosystem.
It was a colony, yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, well, it's going to be a matter of time until that falls. And then sure enough, that week, that night, or before the podcast and stuff, we had a boatload of rain and wind. And I walked out back and I went, oh, snap. But I didn't say snap. And it was, I just noticed it. And thankfully, it didn't break anything. It avoided everything because it could have taken out like the windows in the sunroom. It could have taken out the glass table out back. It could Ethan's sandbox. It somehow avoided all of that and just fell. So, yeah, I got all the limbs and stuff trimmed off the trunk. So now it's just this massive trunk laying there. Which is really cool because it's all rotted, and then you just see like this char going right down the inside. Hmm. Like, well, that's pretty slick. But we found out there's chains in it. There's sheet metal that was nailed to the thing. Yeah, I have no idea what this tree was for. Now it's like the scariest thing in the world.
I was gonna say it was a torture tree, is what it sounds
yeah.
like.
Yeah. So you know, when you're using a chainsaw and all of a sudden like, and it just stops, and you look and there's chain all wrapped around the thing, you're like, what?
Ye olde Amish torture tree. Oh my god. All right, well, besides cleaning up the tree, what have you been doing?
Short of that, it's doing a convention season for me with marketing manager for Panda, so it's planning out the conventions, doing booth design work, and all that stuff. Fun things. Outside of Panda, game design stuff, working on lab notes. Trying to remember the rules of pirates so I can work more on that. Yesterday was Sunday. Saturday, we had the Unpub board meeting. So we had the board down and did a cookout and started planning for Unpub 8. I mean, we've already been planning, but like official planning. The board changed up a little bit. So we had some new elections and we're actually expanding. So we have the board, and then we have a committee now. So that is a larger group, and we're starting to... We defined what roles need to be filled, and then started, like, reaching out to people that we thought would be a good fit to help fill those roles. So
who's the new Red Skull, then?
Well, the person that we threw in front in charge of marketing stuff is TC. Because and everyone's like, yeah, but, you know, TC does sponsorships and stuff. I said, yes, he does, but... I'm on a podcast with TC. I go to conventions with TC. I'm the director of Unpub, but TC still explains Unpub better than I do.
He's your spin doctor.
He knows what to say, and he knows how to spin it. And so I was like, it just makes sense. So, yeah.
So do something. At least it's unpaid.
Yeah. It's awesome.
So, hey, all you really need is a title. You don't need money.
Exactly, yeah. It's just for exposure.
It's exposure work.
That's what all artists do.
We love exposure work.
We have a hierarchy. He's already got people under him. Like,
oh man,
he's ready to go. So,
all right. Well, that sounds fun.
Yeah,
Can't wait.
Well, TC, what have you been up to then?
Well, I've been doing a lot of marketing lately.
Apparently.
Just getting jazzed up for all the Unpub work I'm going to be doing.
You're one of the first marketing experts.
Yeah. Yeah, I am. I am an official marketing expert. I'm also a Kickstarter expert, a list expert, humble.
A list expert, yes.
Anyway, I played... I got to play a Reiner Knizia game. Oh, wow. Why do you have that, Chris?
Because I backed it.
Oh, so it was a Kickstarter game. Okay, so Dusted Grail, Holy Grail Games, Grail Games? What are
Grail
they?
Games. Yeah, Grail Games.
What's the company?
Grail Games, I believe it's what they... Oh, it's just Grail Games. Grail on the side there. Grail Games,
okay.
Yes.
Yeah, Grail Games. Okay, so Grail Games, they do some... I guess they've done some reprints, right?
Yeah.
So the thing... I played Medici the card game, and it's super light. Like, I guess that's the best way to describe it. We played with four or five people, and then we played with six people, and we had a whole mix of people just from playing, and it worked really well. I mean, it's kind of like a press your luck game. You basically put out up to three cards on your turn, and you could stop anytime, and you can take at least... at least one. You have to take the last one that you flip, but you can take up to the last three that you took and just put them in your boat, right? Your imaginary boat, because it's just cards.
Right. Yeah.
But the thing about it is, what makes it so light is that really, you kind of just want to take all three cards. So you kind of, so very rarely, like, you have a decision. Do I want to take two cards or three cards? Usually. And so you kind of just, maybe you'll skip over one this time and then you'll get three more. So it kind of feels way outside of your control. But if you get to go first by failing miserably, you get an opportunity to maybe mitigate all that, right? So basically, when someone gets five cards, they ship a boat, right? And you can't ship with more than five cards, so you just have five cards. There's these green cards that break the rule, right? You can have a green card on top of your ship. Like, you can have as many green cards as you want, but then there's goods and you're shipping them. And in the end, you're just trying to collect sets of goods. If you get five, you get of a certain type of good, you get 10 points every turn for the rest of the game. Well, there's only three turns, so... But you get 10 points every turn, which is sweet. Otherwise, you're just trying to have the most of each of the sets at the end of the round. And also, there's numbers on the cards. So for each round, they're scoring for whoever has the biggest boat, the best boat. And then at the end of every round, there's set collection scoring that keeps going over round per round. So your boat scores, and then you get set collection points. So it's pretty standard. I mean, like, those are... I like that there's two different scoring levels, but... Yeah, I don't know. I like it. I like just playing it because I don't even have to, like, I don't have to think about it, right? You're just like, do you want to take two or three cards? I'll take these two. Okay. And then it moves on to the next person. I mean, it's very, very, like... The only time you ever really make a decision is if you're first to go or second to go, and you're like, man, if I just only take one card, I don't have to ship my boat yet, and I'll get another turn before it comes back around. So you're like, oh, all right. And then you say you don't ship, the next person goes, they're like, well, maybe I don't want to ship. The next person goes, maybe I don't want to ship. So that's the cool part. Otherwise, you're just like, no, I'll take three cards. I'll take three cards. I'll take three cards. The end.
Yeah, and see, it'll be interesting for me to see how... The reason why I backed it is because Medici is... I love Medici.
There's no bidding in this at all.
See, this I didn't know, and I'm like thinking, how can they streamline it without the bidding and try to still keep that kind of, you know, tension there? So, I mean, it wasn't very much. And it's art by Vincent Dutrade. I was like, it looked pretty. It's Medici, the card game. I was like, I'll take a chance on it.
Yep, so, it looks good. It looks good in the shiny coins. They're really shiny.
Didn't he do the art for the first one, too? The non-card game?
The original one? No. I don't remember who did the artwork for the original one, but maybe the reprint? I don't know.
Probably the reprint, because that cover is really familiar.
It's so pretty. Anyway, I'm looking forward to trying it. I will bring it to Origins, of course, and TCU will probably be forced to play again. But
yeah, no problem. Okay. Why would I can't hit it. It's going to be like with people who know what they're doing. Even if you're drunk, you can play it in 15 minutes, right?
So cool.
Why not? Other than Medici, the card game, which was, you know, the thing. That was the new thing this time.
The new shiny.
I did actually play Android Netrunner for the first time. Still, a bunch of rules were taught to me wrong, so I have to play it again.
You'll never play Netrunner right the first time. There's no way. Yeah.
Probably not. But at the same time, I am going to my friend Tim, who's taken me on this CCG journey with all the Japanese CCGs and everything. We're going to play the legacy, the campaign version of Netrunner. So it has some stickers and stuff. There's an expansion that you can get. So we have a base set. We're going to make our decks, and then we're going to choose to whether... I'll probably be Corporation. I got to be Corporation, I think. But I do like running. I ran this time. I did like it. I like the game. You're supposed to put in a certain amount of points during the game, and he kind of misread which ones were the points as opposed to which ones were the number to do. So we had, like, I was just, like, running his deck. And I went through his entire deck and won that way. But it was because, like, I couldn't find any victory points. All of them were, like, we didn't have enough victory points in the deck. So it was, like, eventually, like, I'm, like, taking seven cards out of his deck every single turn. And I'm still not finding anything. And I'm like, what is going on? Anyway, so, hey, Netrunner, which everybody's played. But also played some D&D again. Got to do my flashback episode, throwing in a little bit of Fiasco into Dungeons & Dragons.
I like that.
Get everybody knowing what their, like, relationships are. And then we played Codenames as a big group. And, oh, yeah, we played Sherlock Holmes with Luke. I played Sherlock Holmes with Luke. didn't go over that well, actually. But we played on the correct day. So June 4th was the day of the case, and we played on June 4th, which I didn't even know. Oh, we just opened cool. it up, and we're like, oh, it's June 4th, what? Yeah. That's great.
Luke, that's Luke. Name's familiar, but...
It's been a little while. I haven't seen Luke in a long time.
Yeah.
And I have no idea.
He's around. I know, see? That's so bad.
You mentioned this D&D thing. I remember somebody got me a D&D book for Christmas, but I have yet to play. I have no idea even how to open the book. I had
this whole thing ready. You know, I was like, I still have the notes. So, like, all this whole D&D quest for Daryl. It's called The Quest for Darrell.
The Quest for Darrell.
Still just waiting. Darrell. Waiting for someday.
Good name.
My name is Darrell.
Had an apostrophe. Darrell.
Darrell. Well, maybe one of these days we'll be able to get to it. That'd be fun.
That's right.
We still got to get you to roleplay, period, because yep. it's ridiculous at this point. Call yep. Cthulhu, D&D, whatever it takes.
Yeah.
I've been told, oh, we'll do Call Cthulhu, we'll turn on old-timey music and play by candlelight. I'm like, sweet, I'm in. Didn't do it. Oh, you haven't played a role-playing game? Oh, perfect, we want to test the Sentinels RPG on you because you never played one, so we want your opinion. Didn't do it. Look, I got you D&D for Christmas. We're going to play D&D. Didn't do it.
Someday.
Someday.
And it's not me. It's not me. I never cancel these things.
We just, you know, we have so much stuff to do.
That's right. We've got a lot of life to live, man. A lot of life.
I do want to say, because I skipped over games real quick, I did play Insider and Camel Up this weekend, and I also got...
You mean Werewords.
Yeah, no, I didn't. And I also got the expansion for Celestia, A Little Help. We didn't play it, but I've read through the rules. I'm definitely bringing that to Origins because it is cray-cray. So it,
cool.
It has like a double suit cards. So if like two lightning bolts in the same card. It's got shoring lines. So if the captain passes and you're off the boat, you can play that and tie the boat to the land so it can't advance.
Oh, wow.
It's got ones where you can, if someone else like ejects, you play a card and it forces someone else to get off with them. The big thing, though, is A Little Help cards, where if the captain's like, the plane's going to crash, everyone goes, wait, and everyone plays. It looks like the normal card, but there's a hand icon on it with the whatever the equipment symbol is, and everyone puts a... Whoever wants can put A Little Help card face down, and then everyone at the same time flips it over, and if all of the cards combined advance, then the ship still advances. So it's brings a little cooperative thing to it, which is pretty slick.
Sounds good. Bring it. So, let's play it.
I'm gonna bring it.
Bring it.
I'm gonna bring it.
Speaking of bringing it, Jessica, why don't you bring it? What do you get? What do you bring?
Yeah, Jessica, bring it.
You know what? You know what? Hush. Okay. So I finally actually, I've been kind of hermiting actually the last few weeks, but I finally did actually go out and play some games with people. I played Clank on Thursday night. It was only my second time playing. I'd only played it once and I won that game. And so I liked it. And so I wanted to play it again and possibly lose to see if I still like the game. So played a 3-player game. And I came in second place, and I still do like it, so I'm happy about that. But I felt really bad for this one guy. So he was first player, and, you know, the first player always has a little bit more Clank ready to go in the bag before everybody else. He built up a really cool deck. Like, typically, when you're playing Clank, this deck-building dungeon-diving game, you shuffle your deck and then draw 5 cards, and you can play from the 5 cards, and if any of them allow you... because of some condition to draw more cards, you can draw more cards to play. And his deck, like, at one point, he had, like, 12 cards out because he was able to draw so many. But I think a lot of the cards that he got were cards that forced him to incorporate a lot of Clank because he died so fast in the game, like, so fast. So many of the cubes were coming out and he got killed. So, thankfully, he got out from the dungeon before he died so he could keep all of his victory points. But it was so... kind of, I mean, it wasn't super early in the game, but it was early enough to where me and the other player, we had plenty of time to go around and do other stuff, and, like, the winning player had a score of, like, 100 and something, like, early hundreds, 102 or something like that, and then my score was around 90, and the other guy was, like, 40-something. So, it felt really bad. Then we played another game, and then we played, actually, Clank again, and we played with the opposite side of the board, opposite side of the board, the more difficult side. And the same thing happened. He died so early. And then I came in second place around 90, and the first player came with like 100 and something. So
we might have to return to this in the main section.
Not a helpful strategy, though.
No.
It wasn't apparently. Our fault, though. He just, like, he got really unlucky with the bag draws. I mean, he had a lot more clink than us in the first game. But the second game, he had almost as equal with the other player, but for some reason, his cubes just kept getting pulled. It was really funny.
How about gaining literally zero clink and having, like, the best treasure and then still getting eliminated? That's fun. That's so much fun to play that game when that happens. It's not. I'm putting it on my list.
Well, I've yet to play it.
Oh, it's fun. It helped me to start liking deck builders. Maybe because of the map. I think that adding the map just makes it more fun. So in between the games of Clank, we played First Class. And it was the second play for the guy that kept losing really bad at Clank. And so we just played the introductory modules where you just play with the base cards and then the A and B modules. And as always, it was really fun. With three players, I feel like it goes by so much faster. I mean, I don't know, like, I felt like, I don't know why, but when I don't play with you guys, I feel like stuff can't happen as much. It's like, we get to do so much more when I play with you guys for some reason. Like, people's cards go
We're
out.
We're playing
and have,
with
like,
the extra rules.
I don't know, like, when I played with you, like, you know, Chris Mitchell always was upgrading his train cars and had, like, all these points from his train cars. But it seems like even if somebody's trying to do that method, they can't get as far as Chris was able to. I don't know if maybe it's just the way the cards come out or whatever for the drafting. But I took your route and tried to extend my train route, which I still couldn't extend very far, but it did help me. And then I love endgame scoring, so I was grabbing the cards that give you points for endgame scoring, and I actually won my first game at First Class, which was awesome. So, but that's always a good game. And then Saturday, I went to the Renaissance Fair, which was fun, but it was so hot. And so when my friends and I got back, we like all took naps. And then after we were refreshed after our naps, we played Pirates of the Seven Seas from IDW Games. And I don't care we're on video right now, and I see Daryl shaking his head, but I don't care what he says. This game is fun. I love this game.
See, what's funny, Jessica, is none of us know what that game is at all. We're just trolling
you. Either. Oh, you butthead.
We've just been trolling you all day.
Yeah, you guys have to play this game. It's so much fun. So
Jessica was just saying, oh, pirates, in semester. I had no idea what she was talking about, and so I'm just like, that game is terrible.
Oh my gosh,
no, it's horse blah.
It's
no idea.
But Pirates of the Seven Seas, this was one of my top games of 2015. And it's a simultaneous action selection game. Everybody has the same deck of cards, and you pick which character you want to play or which action you want to do. And those are dictated by your map cards that you have, which will, you play the captain card, and in order to play the captain card, you have to play a battle card. But if you don't have a battle card, that means you can't complete the captain action. And if that happens, you end up getting a black spot on your quote-unquote reputation. And those are worth negative points at the end of the game, which you don't want. So, but depending on what map cards you have, those kind of dictate which character cards you want to play. But then what's interesting about the game is that if you're the only person to play an action card, then you get bonuses. And in addition, if you're the first player of the round, and there's a little token that moves around every round, then you get additional bonuses if you're the only one to play the card. So those can dictate which actions you want to take, which once we finally, the first like five times I played this game, we had so many rules wrong. We didn't know about the first player bonus, and there are a couple other things we're doing wrong. So now that we play all the right rules, like, it's just cool how it dictates your decisions and changes how you're going to play, because sometimes you're waiting to do something until you're the first player so you can get the double bonus, that kind of thing. So if you don't like dice and you don't like the randomness of dice, you may hate this game, because when you play the captain card, what happens is it lists, like, a number of red dice that are going to be thrown in with yours. Your ships are these little tiny dice, and say there's one that says three red ships, so you have three red dice, and then you can contribute three plus a certain number depending on player count of additional dice for this battle. And if you have ships that survive the battle, then you get a booty card. And or a goods card. And the way you get points is by going to port and trading in those goods for points. So you really do want to contribute ships to battle so you can gain some goods for points. But we almost quit the game like a third of the way in because our battles are so brutal and killing all of our ships. And the only way to get them back is to play the ship right, where you can pay victory points in order to get some ships back. But that's one victory point per ship, and you have like a big number of ships, like I'm trying to, maybe like 10 or 12 dice you can use. Or you can go to the governor and you can bribe, quote unquote, bribe the governor to get all your ships back. But you end up getting a black spot, which is worth negative points. And there are ways to get rid of that, but not too many. And then, in addition, if you go to the governor, you have to claim a country, and you get this little token with a country symbol, and all the battle cards have a country on there. And anytime those are played, once you've claimed a country after going to the governor, you also get a black spot. So, if the battles are brutal, the first couple of times, all of our ships died. The red dice were just all sixes and killing us off. So we were just like getting really frustrated, but I mitigated that by using, anytime a ship dies, you gain a yin-yang token, and if you have a certain number and you play certain cards, you can trade those in for, like, rituals. Like, you can trade them in to protect the ship from completely getting destroyed during a battle. So I bought four of those, so I was able to save four ships anytime in any battle. So there are ways you can do that. So that's what's cool. There are ways to mitigate that, even though the dice can be real jerks, and they really were at the beginning. There are curses you can play on other people. They can be bad for you too, but typically you're protected, especially if you're the only person to play that card. You can change the port, what's valuable at port, which I did right before my friend wanted to sell stuff and made her goods like really invaluable. It was really funny.
See, I'm sorry, but this sounds really mean. Sounds like you got nasty on Saturday.
It was fun. This game is fun. And it's cool. Like, it's really aesthetically pleasing on the table. It looks really good on the table. The game comes in a tin, which is kind of annoying, but you use the entire tin for the game. You flip it over, and the score tracker and the places to hold some tokens are on there. The inside of the tin, there's a slim map that you put inside, and it's with the raised edges, that's where you throw all your dice for the battles and stuff. So, and the art is really cute, so I love this game, and I wish it got talked about more, because I think it's really underrated and not getting enough recognition, because it's so much fun.
Well, just chalk it up to you finally liking a Pirates game. That's all I know.
Finally.
Finally. All right. Well, it does sound mean, so I hope you bring that back up when we get to the meat. But before we get to the meat, we've got one last thing to cover, and that's what I've been up to. I've actually got a lot of things I've been playing, so I don't want to dig too deeply into it. But first of all, got to celebrate Dice Hate Me's 7th anniversary this past week. So on June 1st, that was fun.
Chris is 7.
I turned 7.
Yay.
Yay. So that was fun. We had a big blowout on DiceHateMe.com, so you want to go check it out. It was a retrospective on the past 7 years, and also details to enter the contest, which actually, this might air after the contest ends. So anyway, you know what? You just need to go to DiceHateMe.com for the sheer joy of it, and read the retrospective, and also check out a full review of First Class. So if you haven't heard enough of us talk about it on the podcast, you can always read me ramble about more.
Chris is buying it for me at Origins.
Well, you know, you might win it. Actually, you're not eligible, but other people might win it. Other than that, I got a chance to play Covert, which is a game from last year that I wanted to play. It was some Renegade Games and Kane Klinko. And Jessica, you've played Covert, right?
Yeah, I played it once.
Okay. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot of fun, actually. And it was, I didn't know what to expect from it. And some people were like, about it. And some people were like, this is my game of the year. And essentially, you're trying to maneuver your intelligence officers, your spies around throughout, you know, Europe and the world. And kind of complete contracts, missions and contracts where you need either, you know, like certain technology or to be and have your spies in a couple of different locations. I will say that I felt like, even though the game was fun, that some of the mission cards are really swingy. The points values on them don't seem like they're balanced for any. I mean, sure they are, or there's a rhyme and reason as to how they have the things on them. But like, I had one that was worth 3 points, and I had to have spies in two different locations, and it's like sometimes that's hard to do. But yeah, getting the things that you need, like you just pick them up from off of this you know, string of, you know, tech cards or whatever, dossier cards or whatever. And you just get those and you turn those in and you get like 13 points. And I'm like, I don't know. Some of them just seemed like they were worth going for, but some of them didn't. But I really enjoyed the game. Thought it was well produced. And just, I love the theme, obviously. I got a chance to play Yokohama. And I know that's the big hotness. It will there will be small quantities of it at Origins. And I really had a good time. Did you play in that game last year, Jessica?
Yes, I played it last year at Origins.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, and okay. I really liked it. And I have my copy, and I have not even, like, I need to look at the rules. I really want to teach my friends it, but I just, like, been lazy and haven't gotten around to reading the rules yet.
Teaching Yokohama is, it takes a while. There's a lot going on in the game, but once you start playing, you really understand. Obviously, it's very easy and intuitive to understand. What was interesting about Yokohama was, in those types of games, I'm very much a tactical scorer. I like to get the tactical points right up front and zoom up the score track and things like that. This game, I actually tried the slow burn, and I went with in-game scoring. And it's not something I normally do. And I end up winning. So, hey, I like 20% better than I probably would have otherwise.
So the most boring strategy wins?
The most boring strategy won. That's exactly right. It was an exciting strategy. It really was.
Okay, cool.
It's cool. I will say that we played with just the regular version of the game. And it's like the thing, and I talk about this on the latest Geek All-Stars. We have Lance Meister, the Undead Viking, on with me and Dan in the last podcast. And we talk a little bit about Tasty Minstrel Games' deluxified versions of things. And I think it's a good strategy for trying to convince people for incentive to back on Kickstarter and things like that. But is there such a, I don't know, they do such a good job of deluxifying the games that when you play the non-deluxified version, you're like, it's still nice and everything, but you're like, oh, I really wish I was playing with the deluxified version. It's like playing early on without all the chunky wooden pieces and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Not lame. I like the little cardboard pieces in early on.
All right. That's fair. But after
the deluxe version? Do you own the deluxe version? Or
who? The Yokohama?
Yeah.
I do not, no. Okay. We played with the regular one, but when I saw it before, I saw it with the prototype chunky pieces, and I've seen them. I bet you do. Yeah, he's pointing at himself. I know you. I know why you have it, you little punk. Anyway, we'll bring it. Bring it to Origins and let's play it.
Okay. Yeah. I also got Anachrony, but I haven't played that one yet.
Have you punched it or anything?
I punched it and I sorted it, but the rules are just like.
Rah. I can teach you Anachrony, so if you want to bring that one, we'll bust that out. Right. Anyway, Yokohama was a lot of fun. I'm actually looking forward to playing it again. A lot of people compare it to Istanbul as far as the movement is concerned on the board and things. And it's, I think it's just because it's the closest thing to it. But I will tell you, Istanbul's pretty fun, but Yokohama is 10 times better than Istanbul, in my opinion.
I agree with that.
Yeah. So I also finally got a chance, you suckers, I finally got a chance to play Horse Fever. All these years, you've been laughing. Every time I want to play Horse Fever, I finally got to play Horse Fever.
All Daryl's I like, wanted to do ever was play Horse Fever.
Yeah, you're full of it. Because I bought it. You can listen to the podcast. I don't remember which number it is, but it's the one about where we go to Dover and we buy out the game store.
It's Cranio Creations. They make crazy, they have really cool art.
Yeah. It's awesome. It's a cool, fun game. I think we broke Dan during it because we had it during the game day. He wouldn't stop ranting about it because he was in the lead. And then, of course, I'm sorry. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. We caught up to him. Anyway, I thought it was a lot of fun.
Doesn't sound like a nice game to me. Sounds like a mean game.
It's got some meanness to it. It really does, but I enjoyed it. We had a Gloomhaven day. Of course, I've talked about Gloomhaven. You can hear more about that on the last episode of Geek All-Stars. Ethnos as well. Ethnos or however you want to say it. One of the newest releases from Cool Mini or Not, which is essentially area control with like mythical creatures and things. It plays super fast. Daryl's face right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know how big of a fan you are of area control and stuff, but it's fun. It's breezy. It's not one that I would probably go out and buy myself, but if somebody like at Origins was wanting to play the game, I would definitely try. Sit down and play it because there's lots of different factions you mix and match, so every game is a little bit different. And I got to play Merchants of Araby by our friends at Daily Magic Games. And, of course, it's got camels, and it's got conniving, and it's got negotiation.
Now, I remember it was
either, Jessica, you would hate it.
It was either Origins last year or the year before. They had their prototype, and they were trying to get you to sit down and play it.
It was last year, yep.
It was last year. So I haven't played it. I haven't seen anything on it. I saw it during the Kickstarter, and unfortunately I didn't get to back it at the time. What? Thoughts? Like, what?
Well, I liked it, obviously. Yeah. I mean, it's got everything that I kind of like. I will say that, and we had the feedback of this when I actually got a chance to play it after Origins, because they sent Dan a prototype so we could play it for the podcast. Mm. And we had a couple notes about the end game. So the end game is just a little off for some reason. It's like there's not enough resolution for everybody to kind of get a fair shake. So, but at the same time, the rest of the game is so solid that you kind of forgive that. But a lot of people have complained about it. And I think that I agree that there is a little something that feels off about, but whether it's truly off or not, or whether it's just a feel thing or a gamer mentality thing, I don't know, but I'll bring it. It's already in my origin stack because, I mean, it's a perfect con game.
Cool.
Literally. So we'll play it. You can tell me what you think.
Cool.
Other than that, I'm just going to wrap up by saying I've actually done a lot of digital gaming lately. I got the new app for Jaipur, which, of course, is excellent. It is very smooth, plays... I haven't played the actual campaign mode for it yet, but the campaign mode takes you through different regions that kind of tweak the game a little bit with different trading rules. So you can play that out, and it gives you a lot of replayability on your own playing solo. But it also has a really excellent pass and play version, which Lillian and I tried that out one night, and it worked really easily. Even when you're trying to pass it, if the phone tips even just a little bit, it'll cover your cards up, so you don't have to worry about cheating and things like that. So also got Onirom, which was free. Unfortunately, by the time the podcast comes out, it will no longer be free in the App Store, but still a great game and an even better app. I mean, it's just super easy to play. And the final one I'll mention, which is not exactly tabletop, but it kind of is a game called Polytopia. And it's a little indie app from this guy in Sweden or Denmark or Norway. I can't remember. I'm sorry. It's one of the Nordic countries, but it's a Civ game, but you literally play it in 20 minutes, because it's like timed out, and you're trying to get your high score, and you can play as different races. Like one is like the Japanese, but they call them the Jinji or whatever, and one are like Vikings, but they call them something else, and they all start out with different specialties, and then there's tech trees like in a civilization, and then sometimes you have to defend your borders, or you go to war with the people next to you, and it's all... little, you know, fairly cute little blocky critter things walking around. And like when you play as the Vikings, you develop hunting. And when you go out hunting, you hunt bears and feed them to your people. But then when you develop a rider's letter, they ride bears. And so they go off into battle riding bears. And it's awesome. It's so cool. And it's free. It's free. I mean, obviously it has in-game purchasing, but it's not anything... annoying about the in-game purchasing thing. It's simply like if you want to unlock some of the other races, like there's four starting races you can start with. You want to unlock the other races and a little bit of other content, you can pay extra for it, but you don't have to at all, and it's still great. So I highly recommend going and checking that out. That's Polytopia. All right. Well, that's it for me. Obviously, I could have talked longer about that sort of stuff, but I think it's time to move on to the meat of the podcast. Well, all right, people, settle in, because I'm about to read something that TC wrote. Sometimes the world is a mean, unfair, and stressful place. Luckily, we have the magic of tabletop gaming to take us to a place where everybody knows our name, and they're always glad we came. I'm not going to sing the song, but that's okay.
Come on.
And just like crippling alcoholism causes sad individuals to congregate in a local bar, games can be the perfect escape from this cacophony of negativity by transporting us to exotic lands and distant times, places only limited by our imagination and our supply chain management skill sets. But games also have a darker side. They can be the ender of friendships, the destroyer of relationships, the spiller of adult beverages. And for all the games with fun rainbows and puppies and multiplayer solitaire puzzles, there are games bursting with pew-pew guns and misbehaving and blood and betrayal and zoom! Pow! And also pirate games, I guess. Pirate games. Because just as much as we hate how chaotic and frustrating our lives can be at times, for some reason we crave the ability to channel this anger and unleash it on our smiling friends. So today we want to talk about being mean and nasty in games. And hopefully we can all hold grudges against one another once this is all over.
Now, I do want to say, when we're saying like mean and nasty, we mean like play style, not so much like, oh, Cards Against Humanity, exploded kittens. We're not talking about that.
No, that's adult nasty. That's not the adult. That's not the nasty we're talking about.
That's juvenile nasty.
That's body. We'll call
body. Okay.
Yeah, we don't need... We don't need burlesque here today.
I like your body. All right.
So I'm just disappointed because that was all supposed to be pew-pew guns and misbehaving. I was perfect for energetic southern accents, but no.
I thought that was pretty good.
You should have said aiming to misbehave. And aiming to misbehave.
That's right.
Missed opportunity.
Hold on, let me try it again.
My Firefly reference, but
you
didn't get it.
That's fine. Misbehaved. I thought it was good. That was nice. It was genteel Southern. Anyway, let's get back to the scope of this. Speaking of mean, which of the hosts of the podcast is the meanest? And I think
Daryl.
I know what Jessica. Yep, I knew Jessica's vote was going to be for Daryl.
Daryl,
why is he the meanest?
Troll. Doesn't care. He'll speak his mind and just say stuff.
He is pretty mean.
I can be incredibly mean, but Jessica's the meanest to play against.
What?
Yeah. So therefore, I give Jessica the meanest.
What are you? I have no idea what you are even talking about.
All right. Blood rage.
Oh, that's exactly right. That is exactly right.
Man, that was so
I
went
with
ago.
Chris because he'll just lose a game on purpose just so that the next game works.
That's exactly right. Sometimes you just got to do that.
All right, yeah. Sometimes. All right, Chris. Everyone except for TC's got one. Who's the meanest host?
Everybody said, "Oh, TC's totally the meanest." Then. Because he just brought up that reference that nobody needs to remember.
Yeah. And you know it.
Punching a cigarette machine? I remember that one.
That was not my shining bright moment. So let's not do that again this year.
Mean to cigarettes, too.
You punched a cigarette machine. Clearly not your brightest moment.
Okay, well, let's move on then, shall we? So what makes a game mean? Now, we've already established that body games don't really count. So we're not talking about the nasty as far as like dirty and raunchy and stuff like that. But what makes a game mean, and why do we even like playing mean games? What do we call it? Jessica, you say games are mean all the time. Like, we'll play Candyland, and you're like, that game's so mean.
When you mess up what I've been doing, my feelings get hurt and I cry inside. That's why I avoid games like that. I actually do like take things a little too personally when it comes to that. That's why I avoid them. But
what?
Like when people
you take things personally when gaming,
like when you like battle me and kill off all my guys and make me have to start all over, when you steal my stuff, when I've got it all set up to do stuff, But for some reason, it's kind of cool to see if you can plan your strategy so that it doesn't affect you as much and you can still do what you need to do. Just makes you feel smart when you can mitigate some of that stuff or plan ahead and prepare, you know, keep that stuff in mind. I don't know. So I think that's why some people like games like that too.
So
you forgot to mention in there that, like, you know, when other players are in last place and you just decide to gang up on them because they're in last place and make them lose more.
Well, that's
a player making a game mean.
Yep.
Right. That's not the game.
That's
right.
Jessica's mean to game against.
Oh my gosh.
All right. So let's put this back on rails for a second. So to cover what you're basically saying, Jessica, is that what makes a game mean, one of the things is that for other people being able to mess up your plans.
Yeah.
So I mean, where do you draw the line in that, though? I mean, like, Stone Age isn't inherently a mean game, right?
That, let's see, what's the term for that that I learned? It's, denial, right? Oh. Like, denial isn't so bad, but it, like, if you, like, I have something already, and you, like, actually take stuff away from me. Like, right. You're taking, so, like, an opportunity away from me that maybe I could take the next turn kind of thing. So denial doesn't bother me as much. Because I can, you know, like, then I can redirect my plans and try to do something different. But when, like, I've got all my dudes out on a map or something, you kill them off and I have to, like, start all over moving guys around or whatever, you know, that upsets me.
Okay, but so, like, and you say that people might like mean games in that instance where they fight back from adversity?
Yeah, or you set yourself up in case something bad does happen, you know, you know, like... I don't know. It feels good when you actually have that contingency plan in place kind of thing, I guess, right. If you took the time to set it up.
Okay. Well, what else makes a game mean? I mean, I think that... Go ahead.
Okay. Go ahead, Daryl. I think Jessica touched on something with contingency plan. And I think something that makes a game mean is when it's impossible to have a contingency plan. When it's like, boom, this happens. And you're just like, oh. And you say an expletive or two, and then you kind of have to reformat because, like, your next move or your next turn has just been totally quashed. And it's reeling back from that. And it's when that happens again and again, and your gameplay is more in a constant reeling and repairing state, yeah, as opposed to, well, let's try plan B. So I think if a game is... If a game's being a jerk, the game itself, you know, and there's a plan B, then that's the designer being nice. Oh, I don't want the game to be too mean. So we got to find alternate routes. But if there is no plan B, if, like, this is the route it has to be, you know, the gamers are going to be reeling the entire time. That's a mean game. So I guess that's it. There's no contingency allowed to you. And it kind of makes a mean game. Like, if there's nothing else you can do. And again, I'm saying game, not gamers. So,
well, then, okay. So then that gets into a subset that we have here, which actually has a couple of interesting notes from TC that I agree with. But, like, when is mean unfair in a game? And one of the things you just mentioned, Daryl, is if a game seems to have something mean happening in it, and there's no way to have a contingency at all, that's unfair. And now, when is it unfair in other instances? Like, I guess we mentioned again when it's the gamer being mean to you rather than the game itself. Mm-hmm. But in the end, isn't that kind of the game's fault?
No, I think a game can be designed in a way that it makes the players more the mean element than the game itself.
Well, like a social game. I mean, you know, yes. Something that's, yeah, okay.
Something that leaves a little more open ending. Like, okay, take Compounded, for instance, okay? So it has the lab fires built into the game.
Never heard of it.
The lab fires inherently are mean. It is the game saying, hurry up, we're blowing your stuff up. The way to make it not as mean are fire extinguishers are in the game, so you can prevent lab fires. So you have a plan B. But ones where it's like what you're talking about versus the player being mean is if someone... completes I'll say butane, but it's not butane.
Bunsen burner?
Methane.
Oh, methane.
If someone,
yes,
completes methane and triggers the fire chemical reaction and they time it in a way that it blows up completed compounds before they're scored.
Right.
Or
right.
Yes, the Bunsen burner, aka the button, where you could blow someone, you could target someone and blow their stuff up with very little repercussion. So, I mean, that's the two different variants there.
Okay. So, are there other instances of where mean in a game you feel like is unfair, just in general?
Game of Zulkin. Entire game.
No. The only last 5 minutes of Zulkin.
From when you open box to when you put things back into it.
No, I kind of want to open up that thing just real quick.
Sure.
It's not related to unfair, but I would say that, like, in that situation, the game is not being unfair. It's being mean, but it's not being unfair. Like, it told you that this could happen, and then you didn't plan for that contingency, and it gave you a total way out, like, uh-huh. in the situation there. But, like, and that's what's weird, I think, right? Like, with mean games, like, sometimes the game will just, it will tell you, oh, here's what you have to do, and it's, like, literally putting you at odds with making decisions as to who to hurt, right? Like, who am I supposed to be mean to? And you know the rules are I have to be mean to somebody right now, but it's totally open that you could potentially be the target of this meanness, which has to happen, so you're being forced to. So it's like the game doesn't even pull its punches. You know it's mean. Like, to me, that's whenever, like, a game's super mean, right? Like, when you know you have to be mean, you're just trying to figure out where the mean's gonna go and how bad that mean's gonna affect that person. And then, like, I think unfair is when you totally can... when there's, like, four players, and three of those people can all go, oh, yeah, I'm going to direct my meanness to Daryl.
Yep.
Yeah, Daryl. Oh, yeah, yeah. And then the next person goes, Daryl. Next person goes, Daryl. and especially games, and I've seen this with Bang, for example.
Bang, like, is exactly what I was going to say, yeah.
Where if someone shoots a bullet, and then everyone sees that there's a weakness, they all just go, boing, 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 boing.
Blood
and
water.
That person's gone. Yep. And then, like, you might even still be playing for 30 minutes, right?
Yeah. It can happen. Now, but I will say that's an interesting point to bring up, because Bang is the first one that came to mind when you said that, because, yeah. But it's also contingent upon the people playing the game, because Bang inherently sets up a system that has some meanness to it, but you don't have to play that way. Uh-uh. You can actually, with smart groups, even though there's like small bit of weakness, that's just given in to that lizard brain that lives up there that's just like, oh, let's kill that one person. Yeah, let's just get him. It's like the mob mentality. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, well, he got shot. Let's just kill off, you know. But yeah. the smart play is to wait and see how they react and then, like, you know, look at your agendas and try to win the game. It's not just, we're just going to start gunning down whoever's bleeding in the street, you know.
Yep.
So, I mean... yes, Bang opens up the door for something like that with meanness, but does that necessarily mean that that meanness is the way you should play Bang? Not intelligently, but yeah. We don't always play mean games
game
intelligently.
That was similar to Bang, but you got their stuff whenever they died, so you just took it. So it was like, that's all the game became. It was
oh,
like,
well,
literally
that makes
no
total
reason.
Sense.
It was like, there's no reason not to kill this guy. Even if they're a part of my team, I should totally kill him and take their stuff, because now I'm more powerful, right? Like...
yeah.
It was, yeah,
exactly.
So ridiculous.
Well, see, that incentivizes that type of behavior. Like, Bang has some slight incentive, obviously, because you have an agenda, but it doesn't simply say, well, what are you going to do this turn? I'm going to shoot somebody. You know, because you have other options. Sometimes you don't use bullets. You try to use social deduction and things. So I think that Bang can be a mean game, but I don't know that it's necessarily... well, I wouldn't say that. I'm going to say it's not necessarily meant to be mean, because it kind of is.
I think it is. I just real quick, I'll go over the list that I put down. I put events that target the leader. So it's like, mm-hmm. if you're just smashing the leader over and over again, that's like, it kind of gets annoying, right? Like, that's unfair. When player elimination, which we just did with the Bang, like, a lot of times right. people can just get, I mean, I don't know. It just doesn't seem like a good idea. And it's totally the meanest thing you can do is to take someone out of a game that they're playing.
Yeah.
And then when the game plays you, like, that's my most unfair. When you, like, flip over a card and randomly it just says, player two, lose $5. Like, literally, like, that's what it would say. Like, I'm in last place and I'm going to lose $5? What is this? Like, that to me is the game just like, here, have some crap. Just shovel it now.
It's true. It's very true. And those all, again, when we start talking about, like, you can play mean games, and some people like to play mean games. We talk about, well, some people enjoy mean games. In that instance, it's like, these are ones that play into a player mentality that makes it not enjoyable for anybody, or not enjoyable for specific people. Like you said, ganging up on the leader or player elimination when you're singling out one person. Now, but if a game... so when is mean fair? Like, when a game is equally mean to all players?
That's what I say. Yeah. That was Daryl's compounded example. So it's true. I agree with that. I agree. The lab fires, you have a way out, and the game gives you one. And if you're just not prepared for it, it means that's your fault.
Yeah.
What about the Captain Phase on Puerto Rico? Does that mean fair or mean unfair? Or it depends on how the player's playing?
Silence. I think it's fair.
I think so. You know that the possibility's there, and you just have to prepare for that, I guess.
Yeah, but if you're storing up a boatload of coffee, for instance, and the other player jumps on it, it fills up the small boat with their coffee, now you know you're discarding all of your coffee.
Yeah, but that's like,
you could have got a warehouse.
Yeah, you should have got more. Okay, so yeah, that's fair.
That's a contingency.
There's a way around
it. There's a way. Yeah. It's not just all of a sudden. It's not the obvious move.
It is totally mean.
It is mean, but it's also a viable strategy. It's not just mean to be mean.
You're trying to earn more victory points than that person, and that's how.
Here's the thing, though. This Jessica just saying that totally exemplifies why she's the meanest player here, because she justifies everything she does by, oh well, I'm just trying to get the most points. I'm just playing the game the way it's supposed to be played. I'm sorry that you're eliminated and bleeding in the street. I'm just doing
every single game. Every single game to Jessica has the subtitle, a Jessica Wade winning game. And if she loses, you played the game wrong. Play it again. Now.
Whatever.
I think it's good to have the killer instinct. It makes these games work.
It's true. It makes them exciting, too.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, if a game is constantly mean, I think it's actually kind of fair.
Yeah.
Like, if you know you're just going to punch people in the face over and over and over and over again, it's like, I'm not going to want to play that because I hate it, but like...
They're like courts last year.
Yeah. I was going to say London.
London, that's an example where we talked, and we're getting off to a side again, but that is where the game is beating up on you. And now but I feel like that's kind of... I don't know where to classify that fair or unfair. We talked about, I guess, kind of unfair if the game is kind of playing you instead of you playing the game.
That's what I was talking about. That is the game that I was talking about that you're constantly reeling and trying to repair. Reeling and trying to repair. Constant uphill battle.
I don't necessarily agree that that's unfair. Yeah. I just don't think that's fun.
Oh, that's definitely not fun. It is definitely not fun.
So I put a question on here, and I don't know the answer to it, but are war games mean? Because we can talk about a million different war games, but let's just do the prototypical one that most people have played, Axis and Allies, or Risk. We could play Risk if you want to, but Risk or Axis and Allies, something that's of that caliber. Are war games inherently mean? I mean, because the game system itself is all about conflict. You have direct conflict with either one other person if it's two sides, or multiple factions when you're in that game itself. Do you feel like that war games are mean?
No, it's to me, that's like saying Stratego is mean. Like, hey, we're going to give you both the exact same pieces and the exact same rules. That comes down to the play style. That comes down to who you're playing against. So yeah, there's going to be the person that, you know, gangs up and... you know, on whoever's weak and just pick, and the person being picked off is therefore going to say, this game is mean, aka Jessica's mean, she's killing me, I'm in last place.
But isn't war mean?
I don't know.
That's what war is, isn't it? You're just picking on the weakest person until somebody helps you to fight back, and then...
See, I think war games can be mean. It just depends on which game you're playing. Like, I have this feeling, like, and... while it kind of breaks it every now and then, I think like two-player games, I don't feel like they're mean. There's some times where it could be mean. Like, you could be like, lose a turn, right? Like, this feels mean, right? Like, taking someone out of the game feels mean. But like, if you have cards available to you that you can do something and you're only playing against one other person, it's like, it just doesn't feel mean anymore, right? It doesn't...
Yeah, I agree with that.
But
I mean,
with four players war game, it feels totally mean if you get, because you could totally gang up on people.
Yeah,
even
you can choose.
And allies, you could just crunch people.
Yeah, yeah. You got factions, and when any game that has factions, it's not just a two player head on head. I wholeheartedly agree with that. It's hard to I mean, yeah, I guess you can call a two-player war game mean, but at the same time, like, let's say Twilight Struggle. I mean, Twilight Struggle, though, is like, it's got structured cards that are totally like, hey, well, so you thought you were going to hang out in Cuba for a while. Huh? Guess what? No, that's not going to happen. So it's like, but you know that that's going to happen. It's a two-player conflict. It's also historically based, so it's a little bit of a strange duck to talk about. But anyway, I think that inherently war, just in general, is mean. War games, I don't know, gray area.
They're unfair. They're just unfair.
They're unfair.
The ones at PressCon are unfair because you see the guys with magnifying glasses and tweezers moving pieces. And that's just... you're just waiting for someone to walk by and sneeze. And that's just mean. Make your game with proper bits, please.
Okay, yeah. And an important safety tip for those of you who may be going to Origins. There will be some Wargamers there as well. Don't jokingly like act like you're tripping, you know, and go like, oh, because they don't find that funny. It's not funny.
Yeah, they will not jokingly punch you in the face.
Exactly right. It's going to get mean, and it's going to be outside the game.
So, mm-hmm. Hey, if they were true Wargamers, they would have the little magnets, and they would have cut them out and put them on the bottom of every piece.
Yes, the play with sticky mats. So,
and clipped every corner.
One of the other things that we had on there is that the godfather of all mean things is Take That mechanics. So yeah. When we say Take That, we mean a card that actually says punch your opponent in the face, you know, or take your opponent's thing. When is this okay? When is this okay? Is it okay? Does anybody like Take That mechanics?
Yeah.
It's fun. Take That mechanics are always fun when you're in control of them, but when you're the target of them, that's when they suck the most. Yeah. So case in point, this is on my list for later, but Catan, all right? Now, this is probably everyone's first, mean gaming mechanic introduction, all right? That, hey, games can be mean, and that is the robber. The robber
is that the first?
Hey, seriously?
That can't be the first.
No, Monopoly and Sorry come a long time before those.
Okay. But I'm saying into this area of board gaming, this neighborhood.
Okay.
The robber, when you roll a set, or not when you roll a seven, but when you get the robber card, or you're able to move the robber, awesome. You're happier with that. But when someone plays a robber against you, that's when, oh, the robber sucks. Why is it in this game? especially when you have a hand over seven and you have to discard like four or five cards. And it's just, but again, I think the Take That thing, it's okay when you control it and it's not when you don't.
Well, one of the examples that I had though, when I think that it's okay, and this is a reason why, like, I mean, We've got some examples of a couple of Take That things in Dice Hate Me Games stuff, but not an overbearing amount of those. The most obvious example is Carnival. It was the very first release, but the reason why Carnival, some people don't conceive Carnival as a typically mean game, even though it's got some mean stuff happening in it, is because the structure of the game makes you do it. Like, you only have, when you roll the dice and you've got to choose your two basic actions, every now and then, two of those actions are going to be take cards from people or take rides from people or things like that. You know, it's like that's built into the game itself. And then when this happens, you can go, yeah, the dice made me do it. You know, it's like I didn't have a choice. And so it mitigates a little bit of that. It still doesn't feel good when you've spent half the game building a ride and somebody goes, meh, ganks it from you. But, you know.
Do you get to choose who the card is played against?
If you play in a three-player game, yes. The three-player game has factions, but it's still, you know, it's you don't normally gang up on anybody in Carnival in a three-player game. Yeah. But typically you're playing Carnival, you know, with just everybody's getting equally screwed, basically. Yeah. You know, we'll take that kind of stuff. And there are other games like it. It's just one that's that I'm very familiar with, obviously. And I have actually talked to people at length about the mentality of that, of not only take that as that, but also mean games, is that if it's expected of the game to do it, and there's a mechanic in the game that actually forces you to do that, not just you have a card in your hand and you have a choice to play that card or not to play that card. No, there's actually something that happens in the game that says, no, you got to do this.
I was actually thinking mean. of like, But I was thinking of like a really weird situation where it would happen, and it's like reality TV show, I think is fair with Take That, honestly, because you tend to get one player or two players that just can't be targeted by it because they did something beforehand to get away from it. Like, you get immunity and, like, Survivor,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right.
So now someone gets a chance to, like, do something mean, and sometimes it's voting, but, like, in Survivor. But, like, other games, like, it's not voting. Like, somebody gets, like, chooses or something happens, right? And if you can get, like, if you have a way to not be targeted for, like, a little bit. Love Letter. Love Letter allows you to just you play a card. Hey, I can't be targeted by all that. Take That,
yeah.
Right? And I actually like Love Letter, and I think it's all Take That, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's why it works, because it's just every single thing. You know what's going to happen.
Taking a coin in Coup. I mean, you can't win Coup by taking a coin, but... I mean, technically you could,
yeah,
I
but
guess.
You don't get immunity from taking a coin. I guess, but no one can stop
but nobody
you,
can
I
stop
guess.
You.
Okay,
exactly,
you
can
stop
right.
that. All right.
Exactly. All right, well, let's... Go ahead.
Well, I was going to mention another Take That thing where...
Okay.
I don't know why Uno just popped into my brain, but...
Uno pops into everybody's brain when you talk about that.
But, like, if... I mean, if somebody has one card and they're, you know, the player next to you, it's like, of course I'm going to make them draw four if I can, you know, so that I can have an opportunity to win. And so that is just, like, a mechanic that you expect to possibly happen if it's... Because it's obvious when you're the leader, you know, and there's only just one win condition, you know, for the round or whatever. So I think, you know, that's okay.
Well, it's even more pronounced in Munchkin.
Yeah, that's back to the bang kind of analogy where it's everyone's ganging up on the leader. So, or like in Catan, like, well, I'm not going to trade you anything because you're winning. Why would I trade you anything? I'll shut it down.
I think the point, though, is that it's less pronounced than something like Uno because you're playing down to just have one card and it's like you're trying to stop that person from losing that one card. And it's like when you get to one card, you're like, well, here it comes, you know, and that's you're just going to be like... Whatever.
Yeah, and that's limited by turn order, right? Because you can only play the card against the person next to you. So if it's like a big player count in Uno. But like, I guess like being the dice game, I think some specific... Like, you can just kind of choose anybody to shoot sometimes, right? But sometimes it says it has to be like a certain place away from you or something. But you can choose which direction it goes kind of thing. So yeah, so I think it's a little less random with Uno who's getting targeted or who can be targeted, but...
Yeah.
So the card made me do it.
Exactly. The cards made me do it. The dice made me do it. Exactly. It's like the game made me do it. Yeah. And that's actually viable, but people don't mind playing those types of games. They consider they're still mean, but they're not mean-spirited.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So, Daryl and TC.
Hi.
What's the meanest game you've made?
Fate of the Elder Gods.
Easily.
Yes. I shouldn't even have to hesitate on that.
I don't even know why you even thought about that. Yeah, exactly.
Fate of the Elder Gods, hands down. That game is mean. No, it's not. It's mean
admittedly,
fair. It's mean fair.
It is mean fair, but it is meant to be that way because you're playing cultists.
Yep.
I mean, come on. This is not a cooperative game. It can, however, be semi-cooperative.
That's true.
Yeah. TC?
I don't make very mean games, so Spires is my meanest game.
What's not? Don't get eated.
That's not mean.
Yes, it is.
Everyone works together.
I win all the time. Every time I play the game, I win because I play mean. Let's gang up. Ha ha, got you. Like, constant. It welcomes. It forces you without forcing you. It's like hand-holding mean. Like, here, let me pet your hand with my spike glove. I mean, it's just, that is your meanest game. That is your meanest. Okay. It's so an un-TC game.
It turns mean, but it starts so nice.
Yeah, everybody's wanting to survive together.
I guess, but you're right. I guess it puts you in a false sense of security, which makes the meanness even worse, right?
Yeah.
But I was saying Spires because you basically just go, oh yeah, here's all the crap.
Yeah.
Like, out of nowhere. And, like, that person's just screwed. Like, there could be times where you have four people in the same little battle, all for cards, and everyone just goes, here's all the crap. And that one person's like, I played my lowest possible card, and I get all this.
And
you
get all this. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I love that part, actually, though. That's fun.
No, I love it. I think that's really good. It's just, it's totally un-TC to do that. But like, yeah, but no, hey, okay, I agree. I'll go with that. Don't get eaten can be super mean, but some people play nice the whole way through. Some people can pull it off.
Viva Java can be mean if you play it with me.
Well, Viva really. Java Dice kidding. Can be mean. Actually, I think Viva Java Dice is meaner than Viva Java.
Oh god.
It depends on what you play with.
I guess so. Yeah, that's true. But you play with the angry expansion. Yeah, no.
That's enough. That's enough for me. I don't do anything mean, though. All my games are nice.
So what do we feel like are our personal meanest game mechanics? Like ones that speak out and say that what we're mean games are to us. And ones that we kind of look for in a game for a hallmark of meanness.
Area control.
Yep.
I guess.
I agree with that. Hands down, I agree with that.
Anytime there is a place that I have to attack or take over and I have to hold it, yeah, that is the meanest thing. And I would say it's just because you get so mad.
Yep.
It's true, you do work. Or sneaks in or does something. Or one card.
It's true.
Yeah.
You work half the game. You work half the game to get the control of this place and all of a sudden...
Boom. Gone.
Hey, that's why I know Daryl. Your face when I was describing Ethnos, you're just like, no.
What it happens? What was that? That I'm censoring myself. What was that dinosaur game that we played at PresCon? That was Area
Triassic
Control.
Terror.
Oh, really? You thought man. That was so mean?
That was a good one. That's not
which game?
I like that.
Triassic.
You
get the,
you know it's coming. You're like, I'm gonna eat it up with dinosaurs. That's cute. Come on.
Yeah, I don't know what your problem was.
I'm the T-Rex.
Yeah,
I crawled under the table at the end of that game and cried a little bit.
Oh yeah, what was that dinosaur game that I played before we did the Geek All Stars March Madness? I forget what it was called.
What
was it? Was it the same one?
Evolving, you're trying terror? To spread across the
evolution.
No, it wasn't evolution. Chris, do you remember what game I mentioned?
Dominant Species.
No.
Was I there?
No, but we talked about it, and you helped me explain. Oh, oh man. I can't
remember.
It had the chintzy dinosaur art. Dan had played it with
chintzy
me.
Chintzy dinosaurs.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember the name of the game, though.
Yeah.
It does. But, it's like really cartoony, but it's being remade. Evo.
Evo, yes, Evo.
Yeah.
Yeah, Evo. And that was the first area control game I'd played in a while. And it wasn't that bad, but I still hated it when people... kicked my dino. I hated it. I hate area control. Gosh, I hate it.
You people.
Who are you calling you people?
And we have
all
area
of you.
And we have area control and fate. Well, a version of area control.
Yeah. It's area control. Yes.
That's because you said it's mean fair.
It is mean fair.
Yeah, I'm fine with control. I'm fine with to be able to use the power, but then you lose control if you use it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's very fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
That's because
still,
you're sacrificing.
Still hate it.
Yeah.
All right, what else we like? I'm gonna throw it out here. Missing a turn.
Those are the worst. Especially when it's like what TC said, just a card. Like, skip your turn. Yeah. I was like, what?
Yeah or when so the bad. Game makes you miss a turn. Yeah. Or there's nothing you can do on your turn. Or I know that's more of a sucky mechanic
ooh,
than it is mean mechanic.
Oracle of Delphi.
If you have a turn where you cannot do anything, that is just bad game design. There should never be a situation where you, as a player, you cannot do anything.
Well, that's not always true. You can always pass.
But like, usually if that happens, there's something, some way you could have set yourself up to possibly prevent it. Like, when I played Paperback, there were two rounds where I couldn't do anything because I had no vowels. But if I had purchased more vowels, then I probably, you know, would have set myself up to at least have not been put in that position. So, and the Oracle of Delphi has the same thing where if you have too many, I can't even remember now, whether you have too many injury cards or something, then at a certain point of the game, then when it comes to your turn, you can't do anything. All you have to do is like rid yourself of that and then you skip a turn. But if you had mitigated it in the round before, then... and there's a way you can do that, then you possibly wouldn't have had to miss a turn. So typically there's a way to protect yourself.
Yeah. And I remember that because that was it was frustrating, but it was more frustrating that you're just trying to live on the edge most of the time and then get rid of it. And then, but there's like, you have to watch out because there's that like chance that someone's going to do 2 damage to you in a turn.
Yeah.
and you know it's coming, and you're just like, oh, I'm surprised at that one. I have a feeling that, like, that's the Daryl and Chris next one to, like, flip the table.
You know, oh, when that Oracle happens, Delphi?
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's but I mean I enjoyed Oracle Delphi when I played it. It's just again one of those that got hyped that was beyond kind of what I liked. But anyway, that's a whole aside. But yes, well, anyway, I could see that happening.
My next one was Cards with Words. Just because anytime you have cards and they have words on them, the odds that they have mean stuff on them are like super high.
It's true. It is very true. That's not always the case because there can be symbols that are mean, but yes, cards with words are typically mean.
I put lying, like resistance, lying? For instance.
Yeah, that's oh. No, that can be mean.
Yeah, okay.
Goo.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just that's saying this game is mean. Get ready.
Physical aggression.
Yep.
Now, there's one that, Jessica, you have as a part of your note, which you need to explain this one, but mean game, dexterity game jerkiness.
Is okay, that like, so you didn't pluck that hard enough?
No, I played junk art with some people, and it was like, I can't remember which module or which mode of the game it was, but like, we all had to contribute one piece in turn order to this thing and stack it and keep stacking it. And people would like place some odd shaped piece in like the most precarious location so that the next person would absolutely
That's playing
be knocking
the game.
So, but like,
that is a patented, and I'm doing air quotes, patented Jessica quote should come, whoop, that's trying to play the game to get the best like, outcome.
It doesn't matter who does it. The next person is like, I hate you. I hate you. But I think it's mean. I still think it's fun, but it is mean.
You can be mean in dexterity.
Or like,
you can
even
do that.
Rhino Hero, you place the rhino in like the worst place to like unbalance the tower kind of thing for the next person, you know? So,
you know, what's a really jerky thing to do. It's a really mean thing to do in a dexterity game is if you're behind in animal upon animal and somebody's got one card left and there's a bunch of animals stacked up, you just bite one and knock it all over. So they can't get close to getting the stack anymore because they've been working toward all these animals. You just kind of just go, oh, and you kind of, oh, and you knock all the animals over into the thing. It's a really childish thing to do. It's totally mean and it's uncalled for, but it's funny too.
I'm surprised that hasn't like caused some like fighting for like 7-year-olds.
Oh my gosh, 7-year-olds, 37-year-olds.
They probably don't think to do that.
All right. Well, let's kind of some of these things we can get into when we talk about mean games that we absolutely love, and I'd like to know kind of why we love them. But what are some mean games that we love? Daryl.
Oh, well, I'm going to take that one back up. I missed the love part. It's just things we liked. I had Catan. I deleted. I like Catan. I would love Catan. Black Fleet, Rathtop, Black Fleet. That game is so much fun. I don't play it enough. Jessica's shaking her head because it's so mean. Oh, God. You go around blowing each other up instead of guns. It's so mean.
I did all this work to get these goods on my ship. I'm trying to make it across the stinking map, and you just wreck my...
You know what you need to do? You need to sail better.
That's right.
Sorry.
That's just the play in the game.
It's funny because... So this weekend... Before we played Pirates of the Seven Seas, Black Fleet was one of the ones requested. I was like, nope, can't do it. No. I played it once.
I can't do it either, Jessica. Don't worry. I'm in your same boat.
It's so good.
But no,
it's
no.
So
hey,
pretty,
hey, Daryl. I want you to put Catan back on your list for just like and say, I don't think Catan's a mean game.
I don't think Catan's a mean game either.
No, it can be mean with the ganging up on the leader and the robber.
The only way Catan is mean is when you refuse to trade with somebody out of principle.
That's ganging up on the leader.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
it's not inherently mean.
It rolls from one side to the other. The only time is like, I will say this, though. I stopped playing Catan because the group had played it so many times that eventually it got to the point where when someone was going to win, there was jerks that just traded all their cards away to one person so that they could win instead.
Oh, whoa.
So started happening, the whole game was ruined because we'd get up to like everybody would have like 7, 8, or 9 points, and then it was all free for all. It was just like, okay, whatever.
I can't play Catan unless it is Seafarers and Cities and Knights. Cities and Knights is a definite have to have.
Yeah, it's like, fun.
That expansion makes that game good. So
I had a game where, and this is me playing, where I scored 2 points and someone won.
Oh, wow.
That was the least fun I've ever had playing a Catan game. Yep. And that's because you could get in this loop of bad stuff happening.
Yeah.
Die so rolls I can't, aren't your favorite I can't, everything, yeah.
I can't give, I have to give that a thumbs down. I can't. That's a mean game at that point. That becomes a game just yeah. See? Well, that with the expansion right. stuff.
And I will tell you that there is one thing in Catan that makes it feel mean to me, and that's when you work so hard to get the longest road, and then some jerk face just makes it a point to be like, you know what? No, you're not getting the longest road. I'm going to just build roads. I'm not going to do anything but build roads.
Oh, no, they don't have to do that. Oh, you left a stretch here? I'm going to build a settlement right here.
Right here.
Oh, I broke your road up. Yeah, and there's no way to come rude. Back. No way to come back from it.
It's totally rude.
Rude.
Very, very rude. All right, what else we got on games that we love now that we're griping about Catan?
Should I just slam through all mine? Cause
sure, go ahead.
I have the smallest list out of all of you. Magic the Gathering. That's Gathering, I mean...
Ultimate mean game, yes.
Ultimate mean game, and it's all about how the deck is built, and obviously, its tournaments are known for having complete Richard players. Magic the Gathering for sure. Black Fleet, Catan, I already said. And Blood Rage. I've only played it twice. I really like the game. But Jessica, every time I see it, I wince a little bit. I approach the game like a little sore, hurt puppy. And I try not to be in last because that's when Jessica goes fresh meat. I'm pretty sure the bone marrow she's drinking right now is probably from her last game night. Whoever was the last place. Okay.
So didn't I use the Loki strategy, which actually didn't do too much negative stuff to other people?
It was just no, was completely and I was in last place. I had nothing. And you were like, I don't care, I'm winning. The points to get games. Shut up, Daryl.
What?
And I'm like,
I don't even remember.
I think you did the exact same strategy when we played Global Mogul. You're like, shut up, Daryl. I want that area.
I don't think I've ever played
Global
that.
Mogul? You mean Imperial.
That's what I meant.
So at the turning point of that game, when I knew I was stealing Italy from Matthew, I felt so bad, but I was like, I can't believe I'm going to win this game that I originally had no idea what I was doing. Like, when I saw that turning point move, I mean, I felt like such a jerk, but it was also made me feel like so powerful.
Don't do that. Don't lie to make yourself feel bad. I felt so much. No, you didn't.
I did. I saw that move and my heart started to race. I was like, oh no, I'm going to, like, this guy I just met, he's going to hate me because I'm going to be so mean to him.
Your inner burns kicked in. You were like, excellent. Yes.
Yeah, that's totally exactly what happened.
No.
All right, let's move on. What else we got on our list here?
Forgot how mean Imperial it can be.
I wouldn't know. I've never played it.
I'll go next since I'm next on the list.
You're playing bad games.
All right, go for it.
It's just mean because Chris can never play it.
Yeah,
that's right.
Coup. I like Coup a lot. I still like Coup. I'll play it. And it's fair. It's fair mean, but it's totally
it is fair mean.
Well, mostly fair mean. Because there are times where you just get to go, oh, I have $7, you're dead, right?
Like, that's true.
So you were allowed
to get those $7.
Yeah, that's right. So people weren't playing aggressive enough, and that's what I like. It puts you on that, like, it's going to play in a certain amount of time. It shouldn't play too much longer, and you can totally be aggressive. So I like that. Weird one that I put on here was Rumus, and it's Blockus 3D. I don't know if you played Blockus 3D. If you play it with like four people, somebody can get like, and if they're not playing, if they're just going, oh, well, I guess I'll put my piece right here. And then everyone just goes, all right, you're eliminated. Next person. Like, so it's like you can eliminate someone on the very, after the very first turn, and it might not even be that apparent. that they're getting eliminated, right? And that's only with like four players. And the reason why is because it's a spatial game. So you're 3D creating this thing. So if you happen to put your piece in a spot and you're just like, oh, I can probably build off this way, and everyone just covers you up. And it might not even be like intentional. It just might be like, well, I got to put one in here and I want to connect really nicely. You might be in a situation where you can no longer connect to your color. Like it works like Blockus, except in a kind of a, instead of diagonal, you just have to connect to one side of your last piece. So you're like building this 3D tower, but like you could just completely ruin somebody in the first turn.
So you have to connect face to face. Like a face. Yeah.
But like since they're 3D, there's so many different ways. But if you put your thing, like because you have to like, you might be making steps this time, right? So the first level has one level, then two, then three, then four. So it's building up. So like someone puts a piece down and it's close enough to the first level, people might just be like, all right, well, I guess I'm just going to cover you guys up because now you can't do anything and you're out of the game. I've seen it happen one time. I haven't seen it happen since then because people are usually don't get themselves in that situation. But again, it can be super mean because you will be in that situation later. And people can decide if they want to like gang up and keep you out of this area, which I thought mean. Love Letter, I think, is mean all the time. You get to take that. All the cards are take that. So I thought that was mean, but it still doesn't feel mean. I don't know. Yeah. It doesn't feel mean.
No.
I don't know. It doesn't feel mean, but it's totally mean. So I just put it on my list because I like Love Letter. I was going to talk about two of ones. I put Chaos in the Old World on there. Because I played it once and I really enjoyed it. I wanted to play it again. I thought
Chaos
it was like,
in the World is definitely mean, but it's awesome.
Yeah, I thought it was just neat because you had so many, like, even if you were destroyed, like, depending on the character you were playing, you just, like, were like, oh, well, there's four different tracks that I can win by, so I'm just going to go down this sneaky path, right, while everyone else is trying to just take all my guys off the board, you know? So you always felt
you
like
mean
you had a way at,
all the core and blood letters were eating your face off? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But it's still, like, still feels really... unsatisfying when you get destroyed in one of the tracks and you're like, oh, so close. Spartacus was one that we played a lot, and that's a totally mean game.
I'm surprised that I played it and I want to.
It's weird. Yeah, it totally up your alley. I think now though it's still a little bit wonky because there's so many cards and so many weird things and so many different variants to play, but at the same time I still liked it a lot. I like conniving and being super mean to people and then like stealing all their stuff and working together and then breaking that alliance the next turn. And then it all comes down to like fighting in the gladiatorial ring, right? Like it's just, yeah, it's neat.
Sounds right up my alley. It always has. One of these days, maybe.
Go.
Go ahead, Jessica. What you got?
I love Battlestar Galactica. Especially when you're like a revealed Cylon and you're just like throwing barrages of stuff at people trying to kill them off before they get to Kobol. I just think it's so much fun. And you expect that because they're Cylons. Terraforming Mars. I hate the Deimos Down card. I hate it. Where it's like some comet hits the planet, but you get to steal 8 plants from somebody right when they're about ready to trade that in to place Grunny on the map. Oh, and that always happens to me. Always happens to me. So, hate that card, but I still love the game. Secret Hitler. When I played Secret Hitler at Unpub, and, oh man, what is his name from the party game cast? Bruce Vogel. Played with Bruce Vogel. He got to see my roll card, and he straight up lied to everybody and told them I was somebody else. And he is such a good liar, and it was so believable. I could not believe it. I had this look of shock on my face that he was lying to, you know, cause discord against me. It was horrible, but it was so funny, and it was just still so much fun. Such a good game. Pirates of the Seven Seas, I mentioned earlier, where you can change the, like, there are three different goods. There's fruit, coffee, and rum. And you'll get a card that indicates that if you turn in 3 rum cards, you get 3 points for each one, 3 or more. So if you turn in like 5 rum cards, you get 15 points. But say you're set up to do that and the person right before you plays the Aborigine card where you can change the port card and it changed all the rum value to 1. So now you're only going to get 5 points instead of 15. So I did that to a friend, and that's just so mean. When you can see what they're set up to do.
That reminds me, what's that Viking game we played, Daryl?
Vikings on board.
Oh my god. I'm going to put that on my list down here. We're going to talk about games we hate. Vikings on board. And I totally won that game, too. And I'm like, it's still horrible. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Another mean thing you can do in Pirates of the Seven Seas is there are shaman cards where you play curses against everybody. And if you're the only person to play the card, then three of your ships are actually protected from the curse. So you're semi-protected. But everybody else, there's nothing they can do to mitigate it. They just have to participate. And most of them are bad. A couple of them are, like, good. If you get a lucky die roll, you'll actually get something good for yourself. But most of the time, you're losing ships or having to have to give up goods. And if you don't even have that good to give up, then you gain a black spot, which is -3+ at the end of the game. And the really mean one is one where you call out a specific good and somebody has to give that up. So you choose one that nobody else has, so they have to get a black spot because they don't have it to give up. So that's pretty mean. But I still love that game. I don't know why. Little Prince.
I know why.
Little Prince Make Me a Planet. When I've only played this game once, and I played a two-player game. And in the game, you know, you get to look at the tiles and then choose one for yourself, and then the other person gets to choose if they take it or take another one or something. And you make it look like there's no baobab tree underneath that stinking tile, and then they get it, and it's their third one or whatever. It makes not the flip tiles. Oh, that happened to me. I got so mad.
game is excels as two-player.
Yeah, and it was fun, but it you can be mean. And then the last one, which a lot of people surprised that I like, though, is Lifeboat.
I still call shenanigans on this, by the way.
Why?
There's just because you, like I said, you call like Candyland mean. You're like, it's so mean that I drew red when I was supposed to draw orange. And then you sit here and say that you like Lifeboat, which is, and I go on record as saying, the meanest game on the planet. It is not fair mean either. It is mean.
Well, that's the point. You know that you're trying to kill people off, and you know there's somebody you hate that you want to kill off, and you get the most points if you kill off the person on your list that you hate.
So I know it's amazing.
It's expected, but I wonder if my friends and I just don't play mean enough to where I still enjoy it. But
probably not, because
maybe we should play it at PressCon next year.
We definitely should. I will play Lifeboat so hard, and it's just... But you can't play it with just anybody. It needs to be with
people you know.
You may play with a mixed group. You're going to make enemies. It's real easy.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's it. Actually, I'm surprised there are so many games that are mean that I like.
Wow. Well, obviously, my list is huge. I'll just rattle off a few. Fate of the Elder Gods, obviously. I mean, you know, heck, we designed it.
I wasn't trying to pander to myself there.
Well, I'm pandering to myself because it's one of my favorite.
Well, it is your first published game, so we'll allow it.
Shut up. All right, new and meanest podcast host is Daryl. All right, Nuclear War, or Nuclear War, however you want to say
it. We said games that you love, Chris.
I do love Nuclear War. It's just an old, friendly, it's like wrapping in a warm blanket. When you play it right, that is. Illuminati, another incredibly mean game that I love. It's not super mean, but it's like, it's, you know, especially when you play with the cheating variant. So, and the cheating variant is like, as long as you agree with the entire group, is you can cheat as long as you're not caught.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of fun. Mm. And you can steal cash from other people when they go get sodas and stuff. That's always a good time. Cosmic Encounter, of course, another game that has a lot of mean moments in it, but it's built that way, and it's fun. And
I don't think I could ever play that game.
No, you would hate it.
Yeah.
You'd absolutely hate it. Talisman, good example of a game. I know, I put it in there to get CTC's face. I would put it this way, that I don't love Talisman. It's a nostalgic choice. I enjoy playing Talisman in the right atmosphere, but it is a game that is inherently mean, but it's the game being mean to you. Or you being mean to yourself because you're stupid enough to do something and be like, oh, I'll just take a chance here instead of trying to get up to the next level. And it's like, oh, you're a frog. Well, crap. So Axis and Allies, I mentioned before, I do like war games, and we decided that they're kind of in a gray area. Small World is another one of those games that can be kind of mean.
Yeah.
But it's still fun, and it's played so quick enough that you can kind of like put the meanness aside. I, of course, had Lifeboat on my list and Blood Rage, which Daryl's already mentioned. And there are still tons, like Dead Last, all kinds of social games. Like, apparently, I really like mean games, and they're just fun. They're not meant to be taken 100% seriously. You just sit down, you have fun playing it with people, and you don't get too caught up in it. But some people do, so anyway. If you're not one of those people. Now, the last thing that I put on here is one that reminded me because TC was talking about it when he brought up Rumus, is like abstracts can be mean. Like Glux, when we played Glux at PresCon, I had a lot of fun playing that game.
Hated that game.
I did too. I liked it.
Yeah, it was really good, but yeah, it can be mean. Awesome. It can be mean. Santorini can be mean sometimes too, and also when you're using like some of the powers.
I think any two-player abstract game is, I mean, it's meant to be mean. Checkers, chess.
Well, that's what I said. You know, two-player, I don't think it can be mean.
I don't think two-player is mean.
Because you have to be mean. You have to.
Yeah, you just said it. Mean. You have to be mean.
So mean you can't be mean. But I would never play Santorini three-players because that seems like it would be super mean. Like, someone would just be like, okay, well, I can't move anymore.
I played it three players, and it can get a little bit mean. But anyway, it's one of those things, though. Santorini, you're right, it's not inherently mean. Nobody gets upset when they're playing a Santorini, unless you use a really cheaty power, but then whatever. let's wrap this up with talking about a couple of games that we absolutely either will not play or will play reluctantly but gripe the entire time because it's too mean, or I guess because you hate it. And Daryl, I'm 100% behind you on this one, but go ahead.
Zolkin. And I'm not pronouncing the T because I'm disrespecting the game. Zolkin. God, that game is just... Yeah. Chris said it right. The game's good up until the last 25 minutes, and then you just want to flip the table. Because it's just like everything you had just crumbles, and everyone laughs at you because you're an idiot. And people are mean for being mean. And it's mainly all TC. But if Jessica was there, she would join in.
Yep.
She wouldn't have to be playing. She would just be in the room. Haha, you suck. London.
Kind of like just making poor life decisions, you know?
Yep.
That's what Sulkin's all about.
London likes to, every single turn, insult you for being an idiot. And makes you feel bad for being born. So there's definitely that. And I just thought of one that wasn't on the list, but I forgot it now, so oh well. But yeah, those two for sure. Zolkin I will give one more shot to. London, no. Nope. Never.
Oh man.
No. Nope. Nope. No.
I'll jump in and say whatever. But anyway.
I haven't played that.
To me, it's like it's hard because now I do whatever I can to get out of games that I know I'm going to hate, right? Like, so when I was a kid, the games that I played, those are the games that I remember that I will no longer play anymore. Those, like, Risk, Monopoly, they just keep
it's
going
interesting
on
we've
on.
Only mentioned
Sorry.
Monopoly a couple of times, but yeah.
No, it's just not that mean in this sense. Like, the game is mean, right? Like, the game just, you can't win anymore, so you just keep playing. Like a game like Risk, right? Like, it's specifically attacking each other and I don't know. It's not even that mean. It's just so random and it's pointless to play. I guess I just dislike the 80s too. Like, any game that came out in the 80s, they all have this like, oh, hey, guess what? It's like, we were playing, Tales of the Arabian Nights, right? And the game's just like, well, randomly, you're lost.
Oh, yeah, randomly.
Now you're homeless. Now you're crippled. Now you're dead. Now you're also lost.
Oh, and like, man, we should totally put that on there. That's
no,
ridiculous.
I just, it's, the game is mean to you on purpose, right? And you're supposed to, like, get out of it, but, like, there is no way. You just, you hope you get out of it. You don't actively get out of it. It just hurts you. And it's a really good example of those types of games where they just hurt you for no reason. There's no way to get out of it, and it just feels frustrating. And then I put lifeboat on here because
Chris
said
was
lifeboat.
Cursed, crippled, and enslaved. So the only way he could like lose his curse is if he gained a certain good, but he was enslaved, so all the goods he got were given to another player. So it was in a loop where he could not fix his own character.
No, not at all. For 2 hours.
So, yeah, good times.
It was fun, though, for me.
I do want to say the only Risk that I can play, and I haven't tried the new Star Wars Risk, which I've heard is really good. It's not really Risk at all. It's more Queen's Gambit.
It's Queen's Gambit. Yeah.
But before that, Lord of the Rings Risk, when the whole movies were out, they did a Lord of the Rings trilogy version of Risk. That's the only Risk I can play, because it's normal Risk, but it has a clock. So as soon as the ring hits Mount Doom, game's over. And then you see where everything's standing, and that's how you determine who wins. I like that one a little better.
Helpful, but still hate it.
Most
also lifeboat.
I can't believe you don't like lifeboat.
I don't know why I don't like
actually,
lifeboat.
Actually, speaking of mean, and TC brought up the 80s, we never mentioned Fireball Island.
What's wrong with Fireball Island?
Fireball Island is fair.
No, it is.
It is.
Not fair.
Yes, it is. It's
no,
totally
it is
fair.
Not fair.
The ultimate skillful equalizer.
That's up there.
Absolutely.
Like, oh, you're far ahead. Guess what's coming down your way?
No. I think it,
you know
it
what?
Specifically gets to the same ending every single time, where everyone's on that one last stretch trying to run to the bridge, and you can't get the fireball in your face every 5 seconds.
That's why
and eventually
you should
randomly
be better.
It happens.
And when you save that magic talisman for just the right time, that's all I'm saying.
So strategic. Yeah, so Jessica, over to you.
I only have one game on my list that I can think of right now.
I don't
now.
Allow this one, by the way.
And I've played this game once. And this was another game that was suggested this past week before we played Pirates of the Seven Seas. And I said, nope, because I have never felt like more of a jerk than when I played this game. And it's Survive Escape from Atlantis. I felt so horrible because I don't know why. I think she was the only person I could target when I made this move, but just like was killing her things off, just killing her people off. And I just felt so mean. And that's like the point of the game. But the scores were like ridiculous. Like the person who won had 12 or something, and then that person who I ended up targeting ended up with a score of like 2 or something. It was really sad.
Well, you don't play with the numbers on the bottom, do you?
Yeah.
No. You don't play Survive using the numbers on the bottom of the meeples.
Why
you just
got
to get meeples onto the... Cause
oh, no,
that's
we played
stupid.
Points. Yeah.
Don't
we
play points.
We had to memorize
never
where you
play
somewhere.
No.
I mean, we played by the rules.
No.
It was the first time any of us had ever played.
No,
so.
That's not even the rules. That's the advanced rules.
So you
rules.
Just count
play
total number of meeples, that's it?
Yeah, because then nobody's hurt because you're like, oh, you killed off one of
me.
Well, I got five
mean.
More.
That would
I got
be
five
mean.
More, and then you're like, you killed my meeple. I'm gonna eat it with a monster, you know. And it's just, it's fun. It's people
there's,
having fun.
There's no
fun.
Strategy to that. I like her version.
And it is mean.
It's the game.
And
it's
I immediately
the
forgot where
one.
All my meeples were, so I couldn't remember which ones were the high valued victory point ones. And yeah. So no,
it makes it takes a fun game and makes it gamerly, and it's just come on, don't even do it. So
that's it.
I can't believe that you hate Survive. Anyway, well, sorry. Obviously, it was on my list because I like all kinds of different. Like I don't mind the classic games like Monopoly and Risk and all that. I'll still play those. I mean, probably not seeking anybody to find to play those. But Sorry is just the worst classic game. Ever. There's no redeeming value playing Sorry.
No.
Because all you're doing is just moving around a board, and when you think you finally won, nope, sorry. Everybody's sent back home. You got to start all over again. It's ridiculous. The only reason to play Sorry is play it as a drinking game. And then that's that's it. It's just the worst. Lost Cities, the board game. Now, the original Lost Cities, I'm not even putting on my list because it's just, ugh, I won't play it at all.
This is the one I agree with, right? Like, this is the one that I will, like, once you put it on here, I was like, I will probably never play this either.
It is. I will agree that when I first started playing it, and I reluctantly played it because I always hated Lost Cities, but I was like, I'll give it a try. Played Lost Cities, a board game. I've played it about 3 times in my life, and it is one of the meanest games ever. And it's like you've got a, it's a lot of pressure luck, but it's like all of a sudden somebody springs out ahead of you on a trail, and it's like you've been working on this thing for like half the game, and they go, and then they take all the stuff you know, you've been trying to do, and you have no recourse, and a lot of times no alternative to do something with. And it just makes your head just want to just blow up because you're like, I don't know. It's just infuriating. So, yes, Lost Cities, the board game, the actual board game portion of this. I'm not even counting exactly Lost Cities because it's infuriating on its own. But at least it takes less time to play. Yeah. Vikings on board. I already griped about that, so I won't go any further. But it's mean, and I hate it.
Yeah. I hate when a mean game can actually make you actively angry. Lost Cities, the board game, makes me angry when I'm done.
Right.
I did the same thing that you did. I played the first one and was like, well, I'm kind of angry, but why do I... But I should probably do this. Play it again. And then it's like the Daryl's London problem. It just gives you a hand of cards that you can't work with, and then says, go... And then everything doesn't work out, and you get frustrated, and you want to punch people at the end.
Oh, yeah. You don't walk away from it.
It's not even like, I don't want to punch anyone specifically. I just want to punch everyone. Like, I want to punch the game. I want to burn it.
It's infuriating. Absolutely infuriating. So, good. I'm glad you've experienced that as well as I have, because it's... Yeah. Oh, no. Forget it. Well, we hope everyone has enjoyed getting angry with us. Talking about mean games, obviously we have fun with them and we laugh about them, because and I think that's in the end one of the reasons why sometimes we like playing mean games, because sometimes you just laugh. You throw up your hand and you're like, that really sucked, but you know what? Or you can have Schadenfreude and enjoy somebody else having their entire establishment burned to the ground, and you're sitting there with a pile of gold and you're like, oh, well, at least that didn't happen to me. So anyway,
mean
let's
games,
move on.
The ultimate reason to get a drink.
Yeah, that's about right. Well, let's move on to the backside of the podcast. Well, all right, we're here on the backside of the podcast. We have lost Jessica. She has succumbed to her toothless pain, and she's going to take some pain meds and go to bed. But we're not going to be here much longer. We're just going to wrap things up with notable Kickstarters. I'll just throw a couple out there that by the time this launches, Pocket Ops from Grand Gamers Guild will already be on Kickstarter. It is basically super tic-tac-toe. It's the best way I can describe it. I've not played it yet, but it looks neat. I've seen the page. I've seen the art from Josh Capel. And of course, I did some work for them earlier with Unreal Estate last year, which was a great game, and it's coming out very soon. So I thought I'd give them a little shout out. It just looks neat. It's not very, it's again, it's Pocket Ops. It'll stick in your pocket. It's really cheap on Kickstarter, so go and check that out. Everything Epic is Metal Dawn. Metal Dawn. I got to say it like that.
Why this one?
Because Steve Avery asked me to give it a shout out.
Oh,
and I was like,
okay. Is it a Steve Avery game?
Yeah, he co-designed it with Chris Bartarlis. And also Chris is one of the designers on the Big Trouble Little China board game that Everything Epic is putting out, which I hope is good, because you know how big of a fan of Big Trouble Little China is. Anyway, the reason why I want to point this out is it's kind of fun. It's like, you know, big metal robots, and you're trying to defend the nation's capital against this rogue AI, and it's very Steve Avery game. It seems fun. You gotta say Metal Dawn.
Of course,
you gotta check it out. The art looks pretty cool. It looks over the top, very kind of 80s giant robo type of thing. So anyway, Metal Dawn by Everything Epic, and I backed Halloween. That's all I'll say.
Really?
I did. Yeah. It hasn't funded yet, which is interesting. It's 14 days to go, and it's at $15,000 of its $16,905 goal. So maybe you want to go check out Halloween and maybe help us get it funded, because I backed it.
Well, I just want to throw in real quick. I was interested just because it's weird that, like, these games that just pop up out of nowhere. Did you see that there's like Deep Space D6?
Yeah, Deep Space D6. Yeah. And people were talking about it all over the place this weekend for some reason.
Yeah, and I'm just, I wanted to bring it up just because it was a solo game, and it's like, I mean, it's called Deep Space D6, so, and it, what I like is the art on the front cover of it, and I saw this the other day. I was like, man, the art on the front cover, it looks like a Choose Your Own Adventure novel.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, I love the design on the front cover. I mean, I know it's, I know it, it totally is trying to do that, and it's succeeding, right? That's what I'm saying. Like, it's, oh, yeah, it's yeah. trying to do something, and it's succeeding at it, whereas
it's completely,
other times...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Completely emulating the style, and it's amazing. And the thing is, I didn't know it was a Kickstarter project when I first started seeing people tweet and put it up on Instagram, and I was like, dude, that looks awesome. I want to check that out. And then I started looking, and I was like, it's a Kickstarter. I don't know.
Anyway. Yeah, I don't know about the gameplay itself. I was just like, well, you know... A solo game that's up there, if it's a small game that has, like, called Deep Space D6 with custom dice and it looks like a Choose Your Own Adventure novel. Okay, cool.
It's got a pedigree. It's got a good pedigree. It's got legs. How about you, Daryl? You backing anything?
I'm
you
not,
anything?
I had to pull up Kickstarter to look. Everything I've backed has already ended, like Wu Wei. No, I'm not really backing anything, not really favoriting anything. And it's funny because I actually have money in the bank because I'm not doing anything right now on Kickstarter. So it's a weird thing. So now I have money in the bank. I feel like I got to find something on Kickstarter.
Yeah, you need to go back some stuff. All right. Well, Dice Amy Games news. We'll roll through this one really quickly. Viva Jabas are now in retail. Should go to your local friendly local game store and demand that you get caffeinated. Go and tell them that you want all the Viva Java stuff right now, and they should be able to get it for you.
Which is Viva Java and Viva Java, the dice, the coffee game, the dice game.
Correct.
Yep. And they have both, I've gotten sighting reports. So it's like the new versions are out there, and you can find them on the shelves. So
nice.
They should have them there, and if they don't, like you said, demand that they have them there.
Cause demand that they get them.
They should be there.
Absolutely. And I've seen a lot of tweets and Instagram posts of people playing the new editions, too, with the new very poppy... red and green beans, so that was awesome.
I need to get the new beans.
Yes, you do. Other than that, we've got tons of other things that are coming in. Most of them are Fabled Nexus titles from Greater Than Games, of course, but Exoplanets is on a boat. Probably going to be here in about 2 weeks, I believe. Laser Riders and Spirit Island have landed, or will be landing soon. Fate of the Elder Gods NPC has been approved, and Woo-hoo! Even have an unboxing of that that we'll post as an update. And which means we're in mass production of that, and we are on track for delivery in July.
And I received the clubhouse NPC of the clubhouse NPC next week in my hand.
Mm-hmm.
So that I'm expecting that to be approved as well.
I would hope so.
Yep.
Other than that, Dice Hate Me Games, we will not have a booth, of course, at Unpub. We will not have a booth at Origins, but as a segue that I messed up, we will be in the Unpub section. So, Daryl, what do we got?
Origins is going to be at Unpub this year. Unpub will be at Origins this year. I'm not exactly sure of the ballroom that we're in. I believe it's one of the ones as soon as you come down the escalator into Origins, right there immediately to your left. So I believe we have a nice big space. We have 28 tables, so it is a large room. It's going to be the largest Proto Zone or Proto Alley Unpub's done. But it's all sponsored by Renegade Games, and so we'll all be in there, and it'll be fun. If you need a table, grab them. I believe Friday is sold out, if it's not super close to being so. Saturday is super close to being sold out. So right now, Thursday and Sundays are probably your best bet if you want to get in a decent amount of time for gaming. But do so, and there's going to be so many good games being played. It's redunculous. So that is Unpub at Origins. Also, Unpub Midwest. You may have heard about it. If you haven't, you live under a rock. This one. I held up a rock. Unpub Midwest is in Grand Rapids, Michigan. The first weekend, the weekend of November 3rd. And, tickets are on sale now. We still have a few tag tables available, as well as we opened up some more full-time tables, which they'll probably be sold out by the time this podcast comes out. But hey, check it out anyway. Go to unpub.net, click the banner for Unpub Midwest on the top right, and it'll send you right to the ticket sales. And, get all the information on the event there, book your hotel room, all that fun stuff. And also, on June 8th, because, you know, you pay attention to everything that goes on, we announced the dates for UmPub 8, and that is March 23rd through the 25th of 2018. Says 17 in my notes. March 23rd to March 25th of 2018. We're currently in talks with the VIP. One thing I do want to say is I said March 23rd through the 25th, and I'm announcing that publicly because those are the public days.
Mm.
Oh,
more on that later. Ooh, so nice.
Marketing.
more on that later.
Later.
So, yes. So book them. Book them, Dano. Book those
book
tickets.
Them, Dano.
Book those. But don't book right. hotels or anything yet. All the information is going to be coming out soon. So. All
right. Well, what about TC news? What you got going on?
Well, I just repeat what I said last time, and that Inspire should be available shortly for all backers and for real people to buy. And that means if you want to get the full TC Petty collection, now you just have four purchases to make in the next few weeks, and you can totally do it, right?
But you'd better do it before
Xenon Profiteer and Spires.
You better get them before they sell out.
Yep, and before new ones are added to the collection.
That's
there
right.
There you go.
They're coming. All right, well, that's it for this episode of The State of Games. We'll be back next time with even more great board game discussion. Of course, we love hearing from all of you. So if you have topics or news segments you'd like to hear about, we can add them to the show. You can email those ideas to thestateofgames@gmail.com or tweet them at @thestateofgames. You can also go to DiceHateMe.com and comment on the podcast, or join Guild 1903 on BoardGameGeek.com. You can also hit me up on Twitter at DiceHateMe, as well as on Instagram now. I just passed 400 followers, so that's awesome. Thanks for everybody who follows me. Come on over to Instagram and follow DiceHateMe. What about the rest of you?
I guess I gotta get on Instagram.
Yeah, you better get on it.
You can follow me on Twitter, which I guess is the 2015 form of communication. you can find me on Twitter at Get Louder, as well as on BGG as Get Louder. Yeah.
Well, you can find me as at Puppy Shogun on Twitter and Instagram, although I haven't really done anything on Instagram, so we'll see. Maybe Ooh. Someday if I'm convinced. You can also check me out on Perfect Information Podcast, doing a deep design segment every now and then. So check it out.
Check it out. Well, until next time, this is Dice Hate Me.
This is Get Louder.
This is Puppy Shogun.
That's just how I found God.
Saying thanks for listening. And may all your be sixes. Talk about a mean co-host.
Oh. Mean to the person who has to leave.
Yeah.
Take that.
Top that.
All right. Well, that's it for me. Obviously, I could have talked longer about that different stuff, but I think it's time to move on to the meat of the podcast. The bone broth of the podcast. Yes. Gross.
Jessica's drinking bone broth during this, so if you hear bones growing, it's hers.
Her bones are growing as we speak.
Oh,
gross.
Gross, guys, gross.
She's got a femur bone she's using as a straw.
Ew.
God. I'm grossing myself out.
All right. Here we go. All right, well, until next time, this is Dice Hate Me.
This is Get Louder.
This is Puppy Shogun.
This is saying thanks for listening. Great, now I gotta do that again.
I'm gonna do it. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay, do it. All right,
here we go.